السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون. وقال تعالى يعلمون ظاهرا من الحياة الدنيا وهم عن الآخرة هم غافلون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, the challenges what we are facing in this country regarding religious and material and worldly education. When we speak about education as a topic, it's very important, because education is a process by which children, youth and even elders learn skills, knowledge and attitudes. In the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the age of 5 years, Mahmud ibn Rabi radiallahu anhu, up to age of 250, Salman Faris radiallahu anhu, underwent this process. Mahmud ibn Rabi, according to Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, he was only 5 years old. This hadith narrated in the knowledge of chapter. Chapter is knowledge and narrating the hadith, whether it is possible for 5 years old boy to narrate hadith. Imam Bukhari says it is accepted. When Mahmud ibn Rabi radiallahu anhu was sick, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered his house and he took bucket full of water and he says how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam medicated him and how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for him and how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam threw a little bit water to his face and through that he spit little water to Mahmud ibn Rabi. Alhamdulillah, he says, I became cured. I was cured through that. Then when Salman Faris radiallahu anhu, when he embraced Islam, he was 250 years old. There is no doubt, yesterday when I was telling one gentleman that he was 250 years old, he was little surprised whether it's possible 250 years old. And I rechecked what I already studied. I read this in Al-Isaba fi Tamiz al-Sahaba, a book written by Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmahullah. And Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmahullah narrates of more than 5,000 Sahaba. And he narrates in alphabetical order. And he narrates various Sahaba's histories. And when he comes to Salman Faris, he says he was 250 years old. A person 250 years old, he was very much happy to be in the environment of Madina Munawwara. He was full ready to learn Quran and Sunnah. He used to sit with young Sahaba to achieve knowledge. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also regarded him, respected him, and he showed a way how you should take the elders' opinion. In a macro sense, this is the process by which youth are empowered to face the future and often looked upon as the take care of the future. It is well understood, the future generation, they take charge of the future. The youth, in the time of Rasulullah, the youth named Usama radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, and Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah bin Amr. All these Sahaba, in their youth age, they were empowered with knowledge and they were ready to take care of the future responsibilities. Who was Usama radiallahu anhu? Son of a slave. And in the deathbed of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is appointing him, you will be the Amir even for Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. What I am saying is, in macro sense, it is the process by which youth are empowered to face the future and often looked upon as to take care of the future. This was very clear when Abdullah ibn Abbas and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. He was only 13 years old. And Umar radiallahu anhu, Bakr radiallahu anhu was 2.5 years. And it is already now, he reached to 15.5. And Umar radiallahu anhu became Khalif. Now Umar radiallahu anhu is inviting Abdullah ibn Abbas to be seated in his Majlis Shura. It means, being in the environment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were empowered to take care of the future responsibilities. In the age of 15, Abdullah ibn Abbas, few Sahaba had some doubt, why Umar radiallahu anhu is keeping this young boy with us? And Umar radiallahu anhu didn't reply for this. Umar radiallahu anhu kept quiet. Once upon a time, he just recited Surah Idha Ja Nasrullahi Wal Fath, Fasabbih Bihamdi Rabbika Wastaghfir. Glory in the name of Allah and ask forgiveness from Allah. Said, what is the meaning of this? When it was said, none of them was ready to answer. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu gave the proper answer. What Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, Allah Almighty is saying, O Muhammad, be ready, I am going to take you from dunya. These are your last days. That is not mentioned in this Quran. But that young Sahabi Abdullah ibn Abbas was able to understand the depth of that Quranic verses. When Rasulullah appointed Usama radiallahu anhu to be the Amir of that group of Sahaba, few were just speaking, why Rasulullah appointed a slave son to be a leader for us? When Rasulullah came to know, he got into the pulpit and invited Sahaba, and he was very, very unhappy. The dialogue which took place in between the Sahabas. He said, why you are speaking like this? He spoke when I appointed his father Zayd in the Battle of Mota, and now I am appointing him. It means Rasulullah said, this education and leadership and the knowledge, all skills can be given even a young, even a slave, when he is in the fold of Islam. he was able to carry that. Not only him, Ammar radiallahu anhu, and Barira radiallahu anhu, Bilal radiallahu anhu, Zayd ibn Harisa radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu. When Ali radiallahu anhu embraced Islam, he was only 9 years old. When Umar radiallahu anhu embraced Islam, a lady was saying that Khattab's donkey may embrace Islam, but not Umar. That was the time when Umar radiallahu anhu entered Islam. So his father was thinking, how I can utilize him, he's not that worth to help me. But when they lived in the environment of Rasulullah alayhi sallam, the knowledge for everyone, education for everyone, not only for certain community, royal family, rulers, those who are connected to church, no, never. It is for every human. Even a non-Muslim, if he wants to learn something, we are ready to sit and exchange that today. That was Rasulullah's thinking. And Ammar, the son of a slave family, Yasir and Sumayya, the first lady martyr in the path of Allah in Makkah. And Ammar radiallahu anhu, he did a wonderful thing that is taken for important incident as an important event in Sharia. And he escaped and came, he was trying to escape, for they wanted to kill him. And he said like that he is not a Muslim or whatever. He tried to say something and came. When Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam questioned him, Ammar, when you are pronouncing or showing that you are not a Muslim, what was your heart condition? What was your faith? What was your belief in Almighty Allah? He said, Alhamdulillah, it was full of iman. All youngsters, the youth, were ready to do whatever they want. When a 6 years, 7 years, that team was ready to conduct salah. Few sahaba, when they embraced Islam, Rasulullah ﷺ asked the question, who is ready to conduct, who is capable to read Quran? None of them was able to read Quran. But the sahabi was only 6 to 7 years old. He said, I can. How he was ready to read Quran means, he said, the caravan, when they were traveling, passing this area, I used to listen the Quran. Through that, he was able to read Quran. And he was appointed as imam. Education empowers individuals and communities and societies. However, the upper echelons of society have always right to history, tried to ensure that the reach and the use of resources as well as the process of education remain firmly within their domain and control. It was well understood that rulers, they kept it for them. In the prehistorical times, those who were considered educated were those who were recognized as thinkers, who made great personal sacrifice to move away from material world. Read Surah Luqman. Read about Zulkarnain radiallahu anhu, wa alayhi salatu wassalam, rahimahumullah. Great people. How wisdom, Luqman alayhi salam, how kindly he was advising his son. Being a Negro, Allah Ta'ala mentioned him in the Quran. Recently I saw a book written on the science and various geographical incidents connected with Zulkarnain. A research has been. Therefore, the thinkers Their thinking was how I should sacrifice myself and the community and can achieve something. Society recognized them as God-fearing people, honest people. And because they demonstrated wisdom and imparted moral lessons to society, they didn't keep it only for church, they didn't keep only for rulers. It was not given only for rich people, no, it is for every human. He can be a slave, whatever condition he may be. In the Muslim world, it was religious duty of every Muslim to learn and to impart knowledge, and it was the duty of those who govern to ensure that all their subject citizens had access to education, both material as well as religious. In time of Ali radiallahu anhu, he went to the bazaar and shop and market. He said, close your shops, enter into masjid, learn how you are going to trade. Even rulers, they were thinking of laymen. That was thinking of Abdullah Rasulullah alayhi sallam. He never said, oh my son-in-law, I am going to give a special knowledge for you, and oh Bilal, I am going to keep you away from this. He never thought about it. He said, my son-in-law Ali radiallahu anhu and Bilal is same when I am distributing Al Qasim, Allah umuti. And distributing, Allah is the provider. Allah has provided me, empowered me, Allah has given me this knowledge. It's not that to keep only for me. This was the thinking of Deen Islam Sharia. Each and every Sahabi is one. Jabir ibn Abdullah, Jarir ibn Abdullah Bajali, elderly person, a beautiful Sahabi, very handsome. And he was said, Jarir means Yusuf Hadi al-Ummah, Yusuf of this Ummah. He was sitting with 10-15 years old Anas ibn Malik and learning. And Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu was ready to teach him. And he was not ashamed that how I can sit with this orphan. Father also died and Rasulullah is taking care of him. He was thinking in other way, that he got an opportunity to be with Bilal Rasulullah alayhi sallam for many years. Let me sit with him and get something from him. But if we see, however, in the European ruling, it was the mid-16th or before that, knowledge was a treasure, cushion of church, and was also source of their power. Latin script used as the alphabet of every language of Europe started from church. It spread. It was in the mid-16th century, Henry VIII, the King of England, broke away from the traditional Roman Catholic Church and formed his own church. And he thus brought both secular and the religious dominance power within his jurisdiction. Now the situation changed. Education was well as ruling, administrating, governing society was brought within the ambit of the ruling class. The royal family and the ruling classes ensured that they enjoyed the best facilities of learning, not the laymen. They also ensured that the lower classes, as well as those communities they served, perceived as a threat, were always kept helpless and miserable by keeping the excess of education beyond their reach. Previous In 27th of November, I mentioned this. When I was traveling from Colombo to Kuwait, a young boy, 14 years old, he was seated with me. He was only 14 years old. When I saw him, when flight took off from the runway, he was putting his fingerprints. He was fearing. I spoke to him, "Son, who are you? Where are you from? Where are you going?" And I keep on speaking to him. I guided him. He said, "I'm 14 years old. And I'm traveling. I'm going to Egypt. For the reason, going for a competition in the Quran. Where are you from?" "I'm from Anuradhapur. I was studying in this madrasa." "A boy from Anuradhapur has memorized the Quran. Allah Ta'ala has given him guts to travel to Egypt to participate in Ajami. He's going to Arab country to participate in this." When we land Kuwait, nearly 1 hour I was just enjoying with him and speaking many things. As you know, Rizvi Mufti, yes, I know him very well, but he didn't know who I was. When I took him in Kuwait airport, I wanted to guide him to enter into the transit, the launch. The security was there. I told them, "He's going to Egypt to participate in a competition. His Hafizul Quran." All Arabs surrounded him. I'm trying to speak with him in Arabic. I said, he don't know how to speak, but he know how to read Quran. It's the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us. It was the only period of European countries embarked on colonizing, exploiting Asian, African, and South American nations. And they built formidable shipping fleets and embalming them, discovering where they went further and further, capturing any lands that came their way by conquering the local inhabitants through deceptive and often violent means. The complete African continent, as well as many Asian countries that had maritime access, this under European colonial rule between 16th to 20th century. The Arabs were the seafaring traders who had over many centuries established trading posts in these African and Asian countries. The new European arrivals grabbed the land from the locals and the trade from the Arabs. The education policies introduced by the Europeans to the colonized countries were designed to ensure the power continued to remain in their hands. In the countries where Muslims were in minorities, the colonizers designed education policies that favored themselves through favoring the local communities other than Muslims. We have nearly 765 schools in this country, Muslim schools. And Colombo's population, 2.2 million, 10% of Muslims, 222,000, and schools we have only 21 schools, Muslim schools. If you take Ampara, 589 population and 245,000 Muslims, 45% Muslims population, and schools they have 124. We are Colombo 21 to 24 and Ampara 124. Among this, 16 in Colombo mixed schools and 131 girls schools is 3 in Colombo. Girls school 4, boys schools 2, Ampara 3, up to grade 1 grade 8 is 1 in Ampara 78, all level school in Colombo it's 12 and in Ampara 29, and A level is 8 and Ampara 24. If you see in Colombo boys schools, Royal, Ananda College, DSC, Nalanda College, Visipatana, Mahavidyale, Hindu College, St. Joseph College, and St. Peter's College, Bandage College, St. Thomas, Wesley College. It's 11 schools, boys' schools. And girls' schools, Visakha Vidyale, Buddhist Ladies' College, Sirma Bandar Naik, Sujata, Ramanathan Hindu Ladies, Hindu Ladies College, MS Ladies College, Holy Family Convent, and Bishop's College, Methodist College. There's 11 girls' schools. Outcomes for the society, if you take good statistics, is these colleges. Why they are not mixed college? But being we Muslims, we are unable to get proper schools, more than 700 are mixed schools. Imam will speak deen in the pulpit. Our ladies, they were not able to understand Islam. Because they are not getting. We are very proud, and I narrated this. In South Africa, I was also shocked whether I double checked by calling someone else when I said in Johannesburg, Lenasia, Maulana Yahya is running a madrasa school. I said, we are having 700 schools, Muslim schools. He was surprised. How come 700 Muslim schools you are having in Sri Lanka? How is it possible? He said, we are having one of it, no doubt, we are having it. We are having that. But when we went into deep, saw what is the situation, it is still we are same. When Colombo's population is 222, and Ampara population is 245,000, and only 21 schools, few are well to do, they are also struggling, still Zaira is struggling, and how our children who are living in Colombo 2, Colombo 4, Colombo 3 slums. We are Colombo 3 slums, what you are speaking, you will ask me. Go and see Kolbitia, go and see Jawatha, what is in front of Vellavatta Mosque? What is happening? What our well-to-do people are still sleeping. We are not in colonial ruling eras now. No more in that situation. We have some problems. How to sort out it? If you see Sri Lanka, it is Britain time they used to call Ceylon, and Portuguese they said Ceylon, and Dutch they said Ceylon. All rooted from the origins from Ceylon, Arabic word. Ceylon. It was Greeks, Tebrabona, and Arabs, Serendib. It is written Serendib. In Mojamul Buldan, in various other Futuh Sham, various other books narrating, the Arab sailors were very familiar with the sea routes to Sri Lanka as well as the seasonal weather patterns. Mausim, Mausim. Mausim is in Arabic, Mausim in Sri. And by 16th century, the Arab had, many centuries established Arab community inhabited by Arab who established here as export agents. Arabs had established trade links with Sri Lanka for over 2000 years. It's pre-colonized period. History speaks about it. And Lona Devaraja says about 1000 years. But when we see the Ptolemy's map dawn around 150 BC, 2100 years ago, of the island of Rabana, Sri Lanka was then known. The map shows Arab outhouses near the present day Kalmunai. Arab outhouses are what we refer to as the places for collecting and storing commodities for export. There have been the most educated community in the island, Arabs, as international trade required literacy, as well as clear documentation. They had traveled and could draw wisdom and inspiration from the cultures of both Islamic as well as the local Buddhist cultures. Kandyan kingdom was keeping them for all their important areas. Even it is very clear, but they respected elders and brothers. From 1505 to 1658, Portuguese, 153 years. Sri Lanka has been under European colonial powers. From 1658 to 1796, the Dutch nearly 138 years. From 1796 to 1948, the British. As a Muslim minority country that has been under European rule for almost 450 years. Lona Devaraja is saying 1000 years Muslim ethnic harmony. And we should know what has happened to us in past 450 years. Then we should look into the current situation, how we can come out from that. And I have divided this into 6 periods. The first, phase 1, recolonized. And phase 2, Portuguese period. Phase 3, the Dutch period. Phase 4, the British period. Phase 5, post-independence phase. And phase 6 is modern era, the present situation. The famous map Ptolemy drawn in is very clear. This map shows where we were the Kalmune Arab outhouses. Arab outhouses. And again, the Sri Lanka, the Ptolemy map, and Sri Lankan map, the Kalmune is very clear. Grimace and simplified diagram was given here. And if we go to this museum, where displayed at the National Museum, Kalambo tombstone found in Mannar in Kufi script. Kufi script that contained mention the date 300 Hijri. Abdus Samad Alim, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Ilm al Aflaq, expert in Ilm al Aflaq, he writes in Vanakka Nera Vilakkam. He says, in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, Ilangai Muslim and the Nulil, Ilangai in Arabic al Margai Patsi, முழுவிளக்கத்தையும் என்னுடைய இலங்கை முஸ்லிம் என்ற நூலில் கூறியுள்ளேன். அதாவது உமர் இப்னு கத்தாப் ரழியல்லாஹு அன்ஹுடைய ஆட்சி காலத்திலிருந்தே சரந்தீப் இலங்கையில் முஸ்லிம் அரபிகள் வந்து குடியேறினர். One Arab, he traveled to get details from Madina Munawwara. When he reached, it was time of Umar Khattab radiallahu anhu, he could meet Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam. That gentleman, when he was coming back with another servant, he couldn't reach, he died half the way. And only one person, he reached in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. According to Dr. Khalil's version, he gives of his some experience. One of his family members, Mr. Sharif, who Jazul Salahuddin's marhum rahimahullah, his grandfather, he traveled for Hajj, it may be in 1920s. And he couldn't reach back Sri Lanka. The group that traveled Hajj, they were unable to reach Sri Lanka. It is written, the page number 100 in his research book of Dr. Khalil. And he said, wife was expecting, my husband may reach to me today, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, after Hajj, after Hajj, after Hajj. It went nearly 2 years. What happened to them? They, people those days, they used to kill and they used to harm and they used to thieves to take, toys to take things from Muslims who travel for Hajj. Arabs used to do this. And they, this is the reason why ulama in India said it's not permitted to travel for Hajj. It was a situation. The Sri Lankans has gone and faced such situation. And he managed to travel up to Jeddah from Medina after working and got little money. And there he was going from in a ship, working in a ship, and went to Egypt. And after 5 years when he arrived, that wife was given in second marriage. Here it's clearly written, the gentleman who came and who died. And another displayed at National Museum, Colombo, inscription refers to a Muslim preacher sent to Colombo by the Caliph Baghdad. The tombstone is dated Hijri 337, 10th century AC, and belongs to the preacher Ibn Abu Bakaya or Ibn Abu Nakaya. Thus, noon is not clear, Bakaya or Nakaya. And the period of Portuguese rule, main objective of Portuguese were to monopolize the lucrative spice trade from the Arab traders, the Muslim community. And it's clear, 337 and 300 Hijri we were here. And what was our communication? Masjid, Alhamdulillah, they were speaking Arabic language. Arabs were speaking Arabic language. Seafaring people entered to get spice from here. And they were communicating. Arabic language is spoken. And Portuguese entered, they ruthlessly persecuted Muslims, destroyed all their trading ships, and ensured that Muslim community never settled down. More than in Portuguese period, more than 300 to 400 to 500 temples was destroyed, means how they can bear Muslims. Moors, they saw Spain Moors, and when they saw Moors here, they were not able to bear it. They chased them from Gaul. All men were killed. I feel it is a Tatar incident took place to Sri Lanka. And ladies were chased, youngsters were chased. All maktabs, madrasa, which taught a balance of both religious and secular subject work. It is Abdul Aziz Marhum's book is clearly saying that in masjid they were teaching all geography, history, mathematics, everything was taught in the masjid. Arabic language was taught in the masjid. And function and destroy or had to function in uncertain, hostile condition. Again, the Dutch, 1656 to 1796, Muslims were favoring Dutch and supporting them, that through their entrance they may give a good future for them. But however, Dutch continued persecuting the Muslims. Same situation continued. But only one good thing what they did, since Dutch were also ruling Indonesia, Batavia, they realized that Muslims would become law-abiding subject if Islam Sharia-based laws recognized and implemented by the Dutch were introduced in Sri Lanka. Introduced in Indonesia, should be introduced in the Sri Lanka. The introducing of the Sharia-based law by Dutch, this guy was Sir Alexander Johnston, the second British Chief Justice of Ceylon, as follows. He says, Governor Falk, 1765-85, found after much inquiry that there were no person in this island well versed in Mohammedan law. What was the situation that time? Mohammedan law. And in consequence of there being no fixed law according to which the headman could be compelled to make decisions, the people of Mohammedan faith were totally ignorant of what was not their law and were subject, of course, to great aggression from the each headman who were deciding cases according to his own corrupted opinion. Muslim community had now established trade links with Muslim merchants in South India. Their Arabs were coming past 2000 years and 1000 years, whatever condition, they were unable to travel because Portuguese, they covered all excess area in maritime. It's just totally covered. Arabs were unable to reach their destination, and they started the situation here, and they had link with Indian culture, and thus religious and cultural links with Tamil speaking Muslim was strengthening. Tamil speaking Islamic dignitaries and preachers made regular visits to Ceylon to propagate and strengthen the tenets of Islam amongst Muslims. Ceylon Muslims were gradually adopting their communication skills in Arabic and learning to communicate in Tamil. Here, in Dutch time, the Muslim created the script Tamil to Arabic, Arabu Tamil. MACH book, you can see the first edition is clearly given. The Arabic Tamil letter was written to give some message, invitation. Invitation was given previously in Arabic Tamil. We are none of us. I also feel difficult to read that. Because Arabic, and they were having link here, and it was totally changing. The summary what we can understand from 1505 to 1796. Portuguese and Dutch persecuted Muslims. They destroyed their ships. They took over their trade. And all links and Muslims had with Arab countries. They uprooted them from their traditional villages in which they had been residing for centuries. And they destroyed the religious and educational institutes, and Muslims established in their villages over many centuries. Muslims had forgotten the use of spoken Arabic. However, due to constant reading of Quran, they could read Arabic. They could read Arabic, and they lived up Arabic Tamil, mixture of Tamil and Arabic using scripture. Here the third phase and fourth phase and the third period, that is period of British. British who came to Ceylon and the rulers of India had already learned the art of involving the locals in governance. They was presented a friendly face to the all local communities as well as the Muslims. Here a little change taking place. The Muslims were at last, after 300 years, given the opportunity to regroup, begin in the task of re-establishing their social institutions and participate in governance. The Muslims, however, as a community, thought enjoying their new-found freedom, were in no frame of mind to cement their relationship with the British. This was the time the ulama or few, even laymen and Muslims were thinking, let us not mix with this British also. Because Portuguese and Dutch, what they were in past 300 centuries, they don't want to face that situation. The Muslim community used the newfound freedom during the British period to channel their social thinking, their energy and their efforts towards establishing their identity, a separate and unique community, integrating with other communities, search for a community education theme, both worldly and religious. In British period, you can find nearly 14 incidents. Colebrook reforms, 1832. Arrival of Arabi Basha in 1882. And Hamid Al-Husseinia Boys' School, first Muslim boys' school in Colombo, 1884. 1884, Bari Arabic College in Beligam, parallelly. Madrasa Zahira also kept at Madrasa Zahira. Al-Madrasa Zahira. The name was kept Madrasa. When Arabi Pasha was born in 1841 in Egypt, he joined the Egyptian army. He was exiled to Colombo, and through his great thinking and encouraging Muslim, 19 years, during his 19 years of Arabi Pasha, inspired the Ceylonese nation, nationalists, and influenced the Muslim community, who found in him the ability to guide and with the assistance of leading members of the community, such as Sithilebda, Abhishi Marika, and Karinji Jafarji, and Zaira College was founded in 1892. Using the name provided by Arabi Basha and the tribute, Al Zahira in Egypt. Arabi Basha was chosen as the first honorary chairman of the school. Here, Veligama, Bari Madrasa, and in Putlam, 1884, same time, Qasimi Arabic College, 120th stamp was released recently, and 1886, Sharia-based Muslim marriage and divorce laws were introduced, amended in 1888. Arabi Basha assisted both the government and the Muslim community by pushing the approval of the drafts. In 1886, M.C. Abdul Rahman appointed as the first Muslim to legislative council to represent interest of the Muslim community. In 1892, Arabi Basha advises leading Muslims to support M.C. Sidilebe proposal that the Muslim community establish English medium schools. The time that they were saying it's haram to learn English. See, when a fatwa was given, we should see that we must just criticize ulama. They are wrong to say like this. They are correct to say like that. The situation was such, they were not giving anything to them. Only the friendly face was shown when British started entering. Because they were ruling India and other part of the world, they knew the Muslims' condition, how they were. Therefore, with Britain, they entered Sri Lanka. They wanted to give something to Muslims. This was the period, the Madrasa Zaira in 1900, and Ibrahimiyya Arabic College, Ghali Bahjatul Ibrahimiyya in 1892. And Shazuliya Fasiya Tariqa in Berwala in 1892. And in 1906, Supreme Court permits wearing the fez as a part of Muslim in court. This is Abdul Qadir. And A.T. Jaya and T.B. Jaya pledged the support of the Muslim community to the UNP government, ensuring that Ceylon gets independence from the British in 1948. In 1832, the British accepted the call for reforms, commanded that the locals be allowed to trade and to tax them. Here we are starting to do trade. Thus Muslim community once again began to take the trade openly without any discriminatory restriction. Where earlier they were traders, their blood was that. Arabs came here. After colonized, they were totally kept away from this. Now they established the idea of Muslim as a mobile community that was not anchored to be locality by caste. The new freedom encouraged the Muslim community to interact with other communities. In 1880, British government initiated moves to give Muslims representation in the legislative council. This was opposed by Tamil member Punnambalam Ramanathan, who claimed that Muslims were actually Tamils. Muslims were actually Tamils, Hindus who had converted to Islam. This picture was given. That was the time that Abdul Aziz was fighting, engaged the community, who in turn began activities and uniques as a community with the distinct identity and culture. And here in 1907, Mr. Ayyalam Abdul Aziz wrote his reply to Punnambalam Ramanathan's claim that Muslims were actually Tamil Hindus who had converted to Islam. This book gave well-documented evidence proof of the origins of the Ceylonians. Ceylon was Arabs. This once again was great pride in Muslim community, as it confirmed their status and identity and unique community. And Chief Justice ruled in 1907 that the face cap 96 could not be worn in court. The community united in their strategies to reverse this ruling. The ruling was reversed by the Supreme Court on the 16th March 1906. This had the effect of further galvanizing the will, as boosting the moral of the community, who looked on, turned around further of the unique identity. The Muslim community shined away from getting an English education. And this was associated with the Christian mission schools. Siddilepe from Kandy, who has the distinction of launching the Muslim newspaper, Muslim Nation, in Tamil, however, was educating the opening Muslim community schools. And Arabic Basha entering this evidence in 1877, date of period of event of Rifai Tariqa. Rifai Tariqa. And in 1884, the Bari College stamp released for all these events. It is available stamps for first Muslim boys' school in 1884. And this is the Qasim, Maulana Qasim, who formed principal of Qasim Arabic College in 1884. And this is again in 1892, the Zaira College. And here, 1992, Ibrahimiya Arabic College in Gaul. And 1992, the Shaziliya. Dear respected leaders and brothers, these are the events that propelled Muslims to establish themselves, separate community with a unique identity, and integrate with other communities. And now, the phase 5, the post-independent period, from 1936, free education. See, the surprising thing, we all should think how to achieve this. It's not just a presentation. I selected this, the challenges of religions and secular studies, education. Why? See, past 12 to 13 years, Maulavi appointment in schools is not happening. All those 765 Muslim schools are there. No alims are there to teach Arabic language. No alims are there to teach Islamic subject. Leave Arabic language away, at least Islamic subject. In 1936, Razik Farid managed to enter many alims. All our elderly alims, Maulana Abdul Latif, Bari, and all alims, even Yusuf Mufti's father, Hanifa Maulani, he's also, his grandfather Ibrahim passed away, he was teaching school. All Maulani's appointed in schools. Why? They were teaching alims, part-time they were teaching school madrasa, and other time they were teaching schools. From 94, after sitting for exams, till result did come out. And recently governments were saying that we are going to appoint Maulavis. Colombo, still not happening. Now, Islam and religion in O-level, it's a subject. We only in Sri Lanka, we study in Muslim schools, we study in Hindu schools, we study in Buddhist schools. One lady was crying and calling me and saying, my daughter, she is studying in Buddhist school and she was stopped from wearing even Punjabi dress. She's entering to a advanced level, Hazrat, how I can change my daughter to another school, it's very difficult for me. Because she is studying in Buddhist schools, she will take Buddhism as a subject, not Islam as a subject. Because no environment for them to teach Islam. He is going to a Christian school, he will study Christianity. Once one alim was saying, he visited one school and he saw a teacher with puttu, she is teaching Islam. He was not a Buddhist Hindu, Muslim, but she was addicted to that. They were having a Deepavali, whatever it is, a function, like Miladun Nabi function, she was teaching in this condition. Therefore, it is our duty. Recently, we have been appointed in marriage day or act reformation is going on. Under Justice Salim Marsoof, myself, Dr. Shukri, and Maulana Mubarak, and various others have been appointed to reformation of this marriage divorce act. This good opportunity, those intellectuals should try to give their proposals. Ladies who are divorced and not having any proper arrangement for their day-to-day life, how they can get their maintenance. Iddah, it is okay. Iddah, maintenance will be provided by the husband. But after Iddah, only son's maintenance Sharia ruling is there. What she will do? If she is capable to do something, deeni, she is capable to do teaching or whatever it is, she will do, continue with that. If not housewife, what will her condition? It is responsibility of that area, mahalla, masjid, to take care of that lady. Our zakat system, baitul mal system, our community helping, this should focus, and this is the only way government schools, they are not take care of properly, how they are going to give these arrangements, how they will arrange fund for us. Therefore, in the winds of change, if we can see from the 6th, 5th post-independent period, in 1956, the government introduced official language, Sinhala. In 1960, more than 700 schools having over 50 Muslim students are designated government Muslim schools. This was the time where Muslims 50% got this opportunity. But still the same. Akurna, they are trying to change mixed school and divide into two. It's not possible. I quoted you about D.S. Saranayaka, Ananda College, Nananda College, Patana, and Hindu College, and St. Joseph College, and St. Peter's College, and St. Thomas Wesley, all boys' schools. And in Colombo, only two boys' schools, and three girls' schools. In Colombo, the situation is this. Ampara is three boys' schools and Colombo is two. And what will happen up to grade 1 to grade 8, 78 in Ampara. What is their studies after 78? 78 schools after grade 8, what they will do? What is their education? Entrance to universities, zero. At least advanced level. That's what in month of Ramadan, the bayan what I did, I encouraged and pointed out three important things. One is to respect each other. Number two, to utilize the skills and spin for it and do whatever possible for your community. And third to be united. And many things happen and phase six, the modern era. Alhamdulillah, we can say one thing. We have 765 schools, but we are many with mixed schools. Now, how we can change the situation? What is the alternative for that? We have, alhamdulillah, 2,500 masjids. Where they are teaching, maktabs are there. Maktab, you and we studied in maktabs, kuttab, pallikudam, madrasa. They taught us aba, ta, alif, be, te. Because of that, we don't know Arabic language, but we are able to recite Quran. Allama Iqbal says, in mullahon ko chhod do, wo masjidon mein bachchon ko Quran padhaye. Varna, ye Hindustan bhi ek Spain banke rahega. Allama Iqbal says, leave this ulamas. Mullahs, let them teach Quran in masjids. If you are not allowing them to do this, you will see India another Spain. Mahmud al-Hasan rahimahullah, when he was jailed in Malta, when he reached to India, he said, important thing teaching Quran to children. Abul Hasan Nabi rahimahullah says, the maktabs should be perfect. We should have like South Africa. MashaAllah. May Allah bless them. May Allah grant them. They were not that family like us. Only 1960s more ulama and more deen activities started in South Africa. But now you can see wonderful syllables they have introduced in madrasa. Maktab, masjid. We Jamiat Ulama have taken a firm decision, but we are lacking of means for that. The same syllabus what is there in South Africa, we can introduce the syllabus. Aqeedah, fiqh, tafsir, hadith, all the subjects we clear very clearly. Therefore, dear respected elders and brothers, alhamdulillah, we are having 190 madrasas. I'm telling Hafiz Mahir past many years, please take the statistics of Hafizul Quran, how many Hafizul Quran you have. We, Maulavis, Ulamas, alhamdulillah, we may have nearly 6,000. Because we have 190 madrasas now, alhamdulillah. Those days it was 3, 4, 5, 6. Now it has reached to 160. But this 160, we need many means. Ulama should enter into IT fields. Ulama should be given English language. Ulama should be given this modern worldly material studies also. Ulama should be given this. For that we all sit and think how we can unite. Past few years back we appeal all the country people and masjids, you take care of your closed school. The Maulavi who is there in the masjid, morning hours he is free, let him go and teach Islamic subject in the schools. Alternative for that, until government do something, let us take care of community. Otherwise, again, we will go back to the same situation. Therefore, dear respected elders and brothers, I managed to speak about the challenges, the religious and education field, what we are facing, the current situation. At least in this occasion, I would like to say in past my Jummah sermon in Sammankote also, I was very happy when one, after my Jummah sermon, one person came and said, Hazrat, after this khutbah, I am ready to take care of one of the schools in Kalam. Please, if you are able to do something, they are living in slums, no proper toilets. When they go to school, the small area, they are doing two classes. In toilets also same situation. And up to grade 8, how they will be in future? What will happen to them? And we will show the statistics, drug addicts, thieves, stealing, and there are these everything we will show Muslim community in Kalambo. They are doing. We are not thinking what to do for them. This is why I selected this subject. I am presenting this in Malaysia next week. Rabita invited to present Sri Lankan case study. I am going to invite Rabita and Malaysia to support us. And before they are supporting, let us support our community. Not expecting others to come and help us. Let us think in our Kalutara, or in Kandy, or in Gaul, or in Ampara, or in Veligama. In whatever city we are connect, in what way our masjids can help Muslim community. Not only we must prepare alims, hafiz, mashallah, very good. Let all Muslims be alim and hafiz, but let them be connected with material and circular and worldly studies also. For that, if we are still the same, our slums in Kolpiti and Villavatta and Javatta will stand as it is. No changes. We can see drug addicts, Wamis have come out with a statistics. 40% when I came from Maldives, I thought when I went to rehab in Maldives, I thought Maldives, 10% youngsters are drug addicts. But when I saw Wami statistics in Sri Lanka, 40% in Kalambo Muslims. From 8th grade, 8 they are unable to go for studies, where they will go? If we are poor, are poorer day to day, and rich are not bothered, they are just thinking, I have only 2.5% zakat. Through this, if you can manage anything, we will manage. Other than that, I am not going to do anything. No, if we are going to continue with the same situation, our community will not change in their religious and secular education. For that, we should think in our community, he is capable to become a doctor, let my money go to him. He is capable to be in the IT field, let me spend for that. Is capable to become an engineer, a Muslim lawyer, a Muslim doctor, Muslim gynecologist, girl. If Allah Ta'ala has given wealth, Allah Ta'ala has given means, try to establish such institutes. Yeah, my mother, she gave birth, I think, 9 children at home. Is it possible now? If you ask fatwa, where lady should go to a lady doctor. And lady doctor should be a Muslim lady doctor, not a Buddhist or Hindu lady doctor. The second is Muslim, first Muslim, second is Buddhist or Hindu or Christian. Third, a Muslim man. Fourth, a non-Muslim. This is the way for treatment. If he is Kalambo, how many lady doctors are there? Muslim lady doctors. How many are there? Dear respected elders and mothers, time up to think about our community. مَنْ لَمْ يَحْكَمْ بِأَمْرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Those who are not worried about the Muslims' activities, they are not from my ummah. Abdullah Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, encouraging, say, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, I narrated this from Tariq al-Khulafa, Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he managed to speak 100 languages. 100 languages. In India itself, more than 250 languages are there. 5,000 communities are there in India. And Abdullah ibn Zubayr, who was born in Madinah Munawwara, in Masjid al-Quba, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala gave him that guts and that skill. Youth were empowered with knowledge, not like church and rulers. They are keeping this only for the royal family and rulers and kings. Our deen is to distribute for Usama radiallahu anhu. As I narrated in the beginning, that Usama was empowered with knowledge and he was capable to be Amir for Umar radiallahu anhu and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant our community. May Allah ta'ala grant this Muslim Ummah. May Allah ta'ala bring that energy to us. وآخر دعوة الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وعيننا من الخيانة اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشى ومن قلب لا يخشى من نفس لا تشبع من دعوة لا يستجاب لها Allah grant us knowledge, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us worthful knowledge, Ya Allah. Let us be example for this Ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, may Allah take out all difficult situations in this country, Ya Allah. Let ulamas and well-to-do people and rulers think and do some good things for this Ummah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.